demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, CBSSports.com as well as ESPN.com have put together a couple of reports that indicate Mike Tomlin's not going to get fired by the Steelers. Obviously, they're a playoff team. But that there are some people around the league who believe that Mike Tomlin could decide to take some time off, could step away from the Pittsburgh Steelers and kind of do what Sean Payton did last year. Take a year off, maybe get into some media, get a feel for that, see if that's what you want to do. He'd be good at it. A lot of these guys would be good at it. They're great talkers. NBC Sports reported earlier this year that Pittsburgh has no reason to believe Tomlin wants to leave. They felt at the time, according to NBC Sports, that he was interested in extension. His current contract runs through 2024, so he's got the 1 year left. But Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show and said that there are certain NFL sources that truly believe Mike Tomlin could walk after this season. So it's basically coming down to Mike Tomlin. I don't think Pittsburgh has any want to move on from him. I think they'd like to see him there until he retires eventually. But maybe Mike Tomlin is done. That would be a sad day for the NFL. Because Mike Tomlin, I think, is one of the... I don't know many people, other than if you're in that division and you hate Pittsburgh, I get it. But most people I talk to are like, dude, I love Mike Tomlin. There's not a lot of issues with that dude.
No, he's a great coach. Obviously, one of the more consistently successful coaches. I don't think he's ever had a losing season
in
Pittsburgh.
Never.
But I could also see it. If you're going to take the time, then now's probably the time to do it. You're not really settled at the quarterback spot.
Offense has really got to be adding years to it, or taking away years from his life, man.
Defense is banged up, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not really your division anymore with Burrow and Jackson, and then whatever Joe Flacco wants, if he wants to keep playing or not, Cleveland is now more of a threat than ever. So I could see that. I could also see him like appointing his own personal interim coach. Like, yeah, I'm going to make that decision.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see. I'm curious to see what happens with Tomlin. What's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, speaking of Cleveland? Like, what's the future look like there?
Hopefully he comes back healthy and finish out that contract.
Boy, that was... that decision makes the Russell Wilson decision not look so bad. That decision, because of everything around...
Well, it's like Deshaun. That decision plus the contract is like Russ and Deshaun with the contract talk. That's about equal in terms of who you really traded for. Yeah, Watson wins that.
Yeah, it was a bad move. And then I don't know if it's a better look or a worse look that Joe Flacco is getting him into the playoffs. Because
I wouldn't put it past Deshaun to have taken the same team, but I think the allure and the magic of Joe Flacco is...
This is Deshaun's first full year with Cleveland, right?
Would have been, yes.
Or his first... Like, last year was suspended.
He's like...
Okay.
Like six games or whatever.
So we don't know. But yeah, you're probably right. Maybe they make the playoffs anyway, but we don't know that.
I felt like he was going to have a bit of a bounce back.
Was he on... He was kind of on the... Was he on the verge? Was he back and forth? Not great?
He was more good than bad.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you're a Cleveland fan, it's like, man, You paid a lot of money to this guy, and you ended up getting to the playoffs without him.
You're not going to sign him to a long-term deal or anything.
Joe Flacco?
Yeah. He's 50 years old.
Go win a Super Bowl.
He's falling asleep on the sidelines.
I love that. That just adds to his legend even more, I believe. Man, so Angel, let's keep track here. We've got six firings so far. Six open jobs already? Well, again, this has been spread out over the last couple of weeks because the Raiders did their thing way so last year, early in the season with Josh McDaniels. The Chargers moved on from their coach with Staley. He's gone. Washington moved on from Ron Rivera. You got Arthur Smith gone from Atlanta.
Carolina.
And then, oh yeah, Carolina. That was early too, right? Frank Reich, that's five. New England, we don't have that yet, but Tennessee with Mike Vrabel, which was announced today. I'm missing one. Am I missing one? That's six. We counted the Patriots as six before, but it's not done
yet. Patriots Steelers are kind of up in the air.
So we could have seven with the Patriots. Like, odds are Belichick's done with the Patriots, right?
I think so.
Feel pretty good about that? Put it at 80%, 75%?
I'd go probably 70%.
Okay. So that would be six jobs, or seven jobs. And then if Tomlin steps away at the end of the, if probably next week, that would be eight jobs. Boy.
I feel like the number's always around seven or eight when we get to this point.
I'd be curious to know, like, what's the record? Because, clear, you know, obviously you're going to have firings there, but sometimes a lot of firings will sync up with a year where they, where a, you know, prominent head coach gets fired or not gets fired, excuse me, quits, retires, takes a break, like Sean Payton did. But it's, yeah, league, phew. It is a what have you done for me lately league, man. That's the case of the Titans. Washington, not really that. It was, you know, man, we liked you. We just couldn't keep going. We're just not seeing it. Falcons, kind of the same situation. 3 years of no playoffs. Frank Reich, whew, why'd you hire him in the first place? That was terrible. There's just, I guess it just depends. There's some organizations that give it a little more time, and some really don't give you much.
Numbers, it's at five at least.
Five is like the average?
The minimum, yeah.
Makes sense. You're bound to have two or three teams that have struggled the year before that, and then they struggle again.
And you get the odd on, okay, your 3 years here are up, you didn't do enough. Or it's, Mike Vrabel's case, it's 6, 7 years.
Well, it resets, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It resets. You can have three good seasons. You could even win the Super Bowl in that season. But it resets as soon as you have a bad season. And then the clock ticks. It's as if you were a rookie all over again. Or it's as if you were just hired and that was your first year. There's not a lot of appreciation for what you've done in the past. Which I think is a little interesting in football especially. You know he's capable of doing it. Like a guy like Vrabel. He's capable of doing it. Yet two seasons have shown you he's also capable of being bad too. I get the fan base, but I feel like the fan base, I'm curious, are there any Titans fans in Colorado? There's probably a few because of Stonehouse, probably some Rams fans that became Titans fans. What was the feeling there with Mike Vrabel? Because it feels like nationally everybody's like, what, really? You fire that guy?
I think from my perspective as an NFL watcher, when I see Tennessee, I'm like, that's a well-coached team. They got a good coach.
And they believe in him.
They like their guy.
They respect him.
They play a very physical type of game that embodies how their coach is. I think, you know, I don't like to put all the blame on the quarterback situation, but you had the reemergence of Ryan Tannehill for like a year and a half, and then Derrick Henry kind of just took over and shouldered the team. The defense was always solid, and then it's okay, we're going to move on from Tannehill. Let's draft a rookie back-to-back years, and neither one have really been taking the reins yet.
But again, that's where I look at it and go, was that Vrabel's decision? I mean, I know a lot of times head coaches have a lot of power in the draft process.
I don't know if he even runs the offense, so.
No, so that's not on him. It might be on him for how he used him. And again, it's not like the Titans, it's not like he's coming in finding the best, you know, offense in the world or hiring the best offensive coordinator in the world. But that, to me, it's just crazy. It's crazy that you can win in this league for 3 years and then you have two bad years and you're done. I mean, he coached for five seasons with the Titans.
I think so.
Three of those were good. Mm-hmm. Two of those were not good. You know, it's like Chicago. He's coached 2 years for Chicago, Eberflus. And 1 year was awful, perhaps as to be expected. And then the next year looked like it was on its way to being awful and Eberflus might not survive the season. And then they went 7-10. I mean, they were very close to going 8-9 if they would have held on to the Broncos game, that crazy comeback the Broncos had.
He's almost like the opposite of, like, I always bring up the trend of these young offensive-minded coaches. He's kind of the young defensive-minded coach that obviously it didn't work out in Tennessee. And then the other one is Dan Campbell. The Lions aren't good the next 2 years, is he gone?
See, that's the thing. You were so excited about Dan Campbell. He had a rough first year. This is his third year, right?
Yes.
And his first year was like, we're going to bite him at the kneecaps, and then it wasn't a good year. Mm-hmm. And then this year, or last year, was like, they're coming and they missed the playoffs by one game. They knocked Aaron Rodgers out. That's got to count for another year. And then now you're one of the top seeds. You were a check-in away, an offensive lineman check-in away from being the number two seed in the NFC.
I mean, if they don't make the playoffs next year, is it? We got to move on.
It restarts. So it goes, if you miss the playoffs next year, now the pressure's on. Mm-hmm. That's how it goes. I don't agree with it. I really don't.
How long is Jared Goff there?
I think right. To me, it's got to be, if you believe in your coach and he's shown you that he can do it. Like Arthur Smith, good, fine. He didn't make the playoffs 3 years. We're done. Mm-hmm. But if you show success and you do it at least for a year or two, and in Vrabel's case, you did it for 3 years, one of them you showed a lot of success, you were one game away from going to the Super Bowl in 2019, not that long ago.
I think, you know, McCarthy and Shanahan are the two that are just consistently in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't go to the Super Bowl every year, but they're good enough. Andy Reid is obviously just Andy Reid. Pete Carroll is just Pete Carroll. You're not going to get rid of him unless he wants to retire. And then Mike Tomlin.
It is interesting why coaches get fired like this. Like Andy Reid, for example. This year we all, you know, we're going to see what happens this weekend, Angel. But I think everybody kind of thinks, ooh, Kansas City's in a weird spot. Now, if they get knocked out first round by Miami, okay, next year becomes kind of an interesting year for Andy Reid, doesn't it? Not that he's going to get fired if they miss the playoffs for some reason. I can't even fathom a world where the Chiefs miss the playoffs.
I'm walking away.
We kind of force you to. But I could see next year, hypothetical, you miss the playoffs next year. Maybe you go 8-9. The next year, the pressure is on Andy Reid. Would you agree? You could.
Yeah, there's pressure. I don't know if it's pressure to, we're going to fire you. It would maybe,
we'd let you get out, but we're going to fire you.
Retire.
But either way, you can call it what you want. Mm-hmm. But if you're Kansas City, Andy Reid's past his prime. It's probably over. He had his good run, but that's it. We're going to let you call it quits from here and move on. And if you don't, we're going to fire you.
I'll pose that same question to you. Where's the pressure with Pete Carroll? Make the playoffs last year. Don't make it this year.
Resets, doesn't it? No matter how long you've been there. So this year you missed the playoffs. Next year, are you on the hot seat? Is Pete Carroll on the hot seat next year? You make the playoffs your first year without your franchise quarterback and Russell Wilson. You won that battle, at least for the time being. You revive Geno Smith's career.
Kind of.
He's at least in the playoffs. He's starting quarterback last year. Mm-hmm. You missed it by one game this year. Next year, I would say if you struggle and you don't make the playoffs, I feel like they actually overachieved this year. I didn't think they were going to be that great.
I thought they could get back.
I didn't think they. I thought they'd be like a 7-8 win team. They ended up winning, what, 9? Mm-hmm. But that's the crazy thing about this sport, and probably all sports, I guess. Is even though we know you can do it, we've seen you do it, it's not a good fit anymore. We're not feeling it. What happens in between that time? It's like Jared Bednar with the Avalanche. And I I'm not going to say I was on the fence. I was of the mindset too that the year they won the Stanley Cup, he had to get past the second round. But that's how we view this thing now. Well, he's a good coach, but you just can't get him over the hump. But then there's other coaches that go to the playoffs, go to the NFC Championship, and then they miss it by 2 years, and your reasoning is, we're not feeling it. This isn't working anymore. But 2 years ago, you were in the playoffs. It's incredible to me. because it's very rare. It's very tough to win a Super Bowl. It's very tough to repeat. It's getting harder and harder to do that now. I mean, you look at, oh, come on. Philly's coach.
Sirianni.
Your boy, Sirianni.
Not mine.
If they get knocked out in the first round this year and miss the playoffs next year, or maybe even just get knocked out of the first round next year, is he done? You're not getting the best out of Jalen Hurts anymore.
No, it's we're going to bring in a guy that can get the best out of Jalen Hurts.
Man, what a world.
It's a weird sport.
And it's the same with college, too. I mean, college football is very much the same place. Just different programs, different conferences. Like CSU's Jay Norvell. We're already going on year three next year. If he can't win five, if he can't get into a bowl game, is he fired next at the end of next season? Maybe. Doubtful, but maybe. But then you look at other guys. Ohio's names are
Ryan Day.
Yep. We're on the same page, though, at least. Ohio State.
I'd say he's on it going into this season.
And you're one of the top teams in the – you were one of the top teams all season.
Yeah, but you haven't beat Michigan in 3 years.
Isn't it amazing how you're viewed, how things are viewed? How guys get more opportunities because our fan base is kind of used to 7-8. You go below that, you're in trouble. Oh, our fan base is used to being in the playoffs. If Nick Saban misses the playoffs for two seasons in a row, would he get fired?
The standard's different.
I don't
this
know.
Is, you haven't won a championship in 3 years. Are you going to retire?
If he
They're
doesn't.
Not firing Nick Saban.
No, he's safe no matter what. He could miss the playoffs 2 years in a row and he would be safe?
Yeah, he would. They're not going to fire. He's the best coach they've ever had.
Andy Reid got fired from Philadelphia. Bill Belichick's about to get asked to retire.
I mean, we've talked about Belichick. I don't think
true.
He's a good coach, but he's not the greatest.
But they all do. They all get fired.
Sure.
They all get fired. They all get asked politely to retire.
I mean, they're lucky Bear Bryant died and he would have coached until he was 150.
Pittsburgh's the only one that's got it right. Now, again, the guys earned that, right?
When does that wear on a coach?
What?
Like, how long does, not middling success, but kind of just, we're at least 9 wins a season. That's kind of our max.
You're always going to have a winning record.
We're no, we're not the Ben Roethlisberger teams of the 2010s anymore.
True. I mean, it's been a long time since they won their Super Bowl. But the alternative is, we have seven open jobs, maybe. Maybe seven, depending on Pittsburgh and New England. It is a very fickle business. They are paid handsomely for it. But it is a what have you done for me lately? And you could win a Super Bowl for us. But 2 years of struggles, and you're likely gone. Eastside Chris says, talking about the demise of Chiefs has to get Dixon fired up. Be careful. No, it's a hypothetical. Like, until Patrick Mahomes proves to me he can't come back and salvage at least a deep run in the playoffs, I still believe the Chiefs are going to go on and, I mean, they're not beating Baltimore, but I believe the Chiefs could beat Miami this weekend. I have no reason to doubt Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. But I don't know if he has the wide receiver weapons. But it's a hypothetical. Andy Reid is probably up there as one of the top coaches. Is he the best coach in the NFL right now? Is it Andy Reid? Because Bill Belichick's not getting that honor anymore because it's the Tom Brady thing.
I lean a little more Shanahan.
Yeah, but where's the Super Bowl?
He's gone to a Super Bowl. Andy Reid in a Super Bowl.
But Andy's got.
Sure.
He's got two with the Chiefs.
Mean, Andy's been in the league longer, so he has that tenured success.
I would say
I think in terms of just right now,
mm-hmm.
I think in terms of building a
creativity
team,
and play calling and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. But resume-wise, whatever, Andy Reid. But even then, give me two seasons of missing the playoffs, and hey, Andy, your time is up, man.
What about John Harbaugh?
This is an interesting year for him. He's been there a while. They did get a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. they missed the playoffs last year, right? Because Lamar was hurt. Mm-hmm. This has been a great year for him. Is there pressure to win next weekend? Because you got the first round bye, you got to win the next weekend?
There's pressure to win a Super Bowl.
So that's where, but see, and that's what's, in, isn't that what's fun or also terrifying about this business is the standards just change depending on who you are, where you are, and what you're used to. Look at the Broncos fan base. They were used to, in the 90s, Mike Shanahan bringing them some Super Bowls.
You have a fan base in Miami that hasn't seen the playoffs in 20 years. They make it back to back and they're ready to fire the coach.
See, that's weird to me.
It is strange to me.
I'm not saying this in a mean way. They have no right to feel that, to put that kind of pressure on the coach. Miami fan base doesn't.
No, and I get, you know, you bring in Fangio, you bring in top name defensive players and offensive stars, and you built the team that should be a contender for the Super Bowl. But what we ignore is the 15-plus injuries to your entire team. But it's, oh, you made the playoffs. You need to win a Super Bowl, like, now.
Miami should be in the world of, like Detroit. They should be in that world.
A playoff win this year, to me, it would be a success.
Yeah, but it also, and I know they had their hiccups, injuries, whatever. They had their hiccups. But I still feel like that's a team on the rise. Maybe it's not as fast as a rise as it was in the mid-season point. They could very well lose to the Chiefs, and I would not look at that and be saying it's a failed season. Yeah, you could say if they would have had a stronger finish, they wouldn't have had to go pair it up with the Chiefs. They could still go beat the Chiefs. I think they could. If I'm picking right now today, weather included, I'm probably picking Kansas City. But my point is, the Miami fan base, and you're not in this mix, is... You don't have the pedigree to put pressure on a coach like that. You don't have it. The Broncos do. They've been their history. A lot of their fans that can afford to go to games, Angel, I'm 37. I'm a fan. There's 20-year-olds that are fans. There's teenagers that are fans. I get that. But the lifelong fans that have experienced so much success are the ones that are buying tickets to go to these games. The ones that have seen, how many Super Bowls have the Broncos been to? 7? 8 in their history? Won 3 of them? Playoffs all the time? I get where they have a right, but it's just amazing how a fan base dictates it. Your success dictates. For example, Broncos, the pressure is to make the playoffs, but the pressure on a quarterback here is ridiculous. I mean, you have to be perfect here. You have to be Peyton Manning. Jake Plummer, dude, I loved Jake Plummer. I was a big Jake Plummer fan. A good chunk of the fan base here could not stand him. He was reckless. He ran all over the place. I remember one time he switched it into his left hand, threw a left-hand pass, threw a pick. Didn't work out. But the fan base couldn't stand him. All he did was make the playoffs. 3 years with the Broncos, 3 playoff runs.
What's interesting about the Manning standard is 3 of the 4 years he was great. The last year, yeah, you won the Super Bowl, but we could all admit he was not prime Peyton Manning.
No, he was not at that level, not at that high level. But even then, Broncos fans were like, time to move on from Peyton Manning. He was booed. The Broncos offense, maybe not Manning, but the offense was booed against Kansas City. And then he got hurt. So the standards dictate what you end up doing. Tennessee fires Mike Vrabel. This is why I asked the question. Was talk radio very negative on Vrabel? Were the fans really negative on Vrabel? Must have been, because why else would you make that move? It's only been 2 seasons coming off of 3 years where you had a lot of success. It's just wild to me. And I would be of the mindset, like a Pittsburgh, where it's like, Mike Tomlin, you've never had a losing record. I know you only have the 1 Super Bowl, but you never have a losing record. You're always in the playoffs. It was the George Karl argument, Angel. Now, the Nuggets fan base didn't dictate that. That was the Kroenkes. George Karl, this is why I'm wrong, and this is why I'd never be a GM. George Karl was my guy. I loved George Karl. I still love George Karl. Disagree with some of his weird out there tweets, you know, the last couple of years. But I didn't want them to fire this dude. But this was a team that wasn't used to going to the playoffs since the the 80s. They were relatively bad in the 90s and then the early 2000s. George Karl enters pretty much along with Carmelo Anthony, and you never missed the playoffs. Never did. George Karl never missed the playoffs with the Nuggets. Yet he was fired after he won Coach of the Year. It just goes to show you, man, this firing, you know, what do they call this? Black Monday? Yesterday was Black Monday. It's a rough business. They get paid handsomely for it, but it still doesn't, I mean, it still doesn't make it easy. It's just an interesting case study to see why some organizations move on from guys like Mike Vrabel and maybe Bill Belichick, maybe Mike Tomlin. 31 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Football season is over.
It's all over.
But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
It's Tuesday, which means it's Burger Madness at Cable's Pub and Grill for just $9.99. Enjoy some of the best burgers around at Cable's Pub and Grill. That's where my friends meet. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Aren't the Broncos supposed to have their press conference today? If so, would be interesting to see if George attends. Otherwise, I think he's out of the job here. I don't know about that one. Reports over the weekend from Ian Rapoport kind of stated that Sean Payton and George Payton have a really good working relationship, and he'd likely be back. But I'm hearing conflicting reports that maybe there is something there, and maybe they move on, and Sean Payton finds somebody else to come in. And when I say that, Sean Payton's going to be the personnel guy. He's going to be the one that ultimately makes decisions on drafting and free agency. They can tell you all they want that it's George Payton doing it, but it's going to be Sean Payton. That's what it's going to be. But they could go either way on this. According to NFL Network's Ian Rapoport, he said Payton's job was likely safe. He'd remain with the Broncos. But then I've heard a few other things that, even guys like Adam Schefter had a few things to say about it, saying that maybe he wasn't so sure that George Payton would be there, that he would be sticking around. So it could go either way. I guess, yeah, if he doesn't talk today, that would probably be a pretty good indicator that he's not going to be there anymore. And yeah, listen, don't you got to do it soon? Because you don't want him lingering as you're heading into, getting close to free agency. Which, not like the Broncos are going to be uber aggressive in free agency. But then the draft's not long from that point. I would assume that's going to happen sooner rather than later. I honestly don't know. I don't know how George Payton would keep his job. It has been, what has he done? I guess he made the deal to get Sean Payton, which is interesting. I think Walton Petter Group wanted him, and then maybe they said, George Payton, go make the deal happen. George arguably conducted the worst trade in Broncos history, and then arguably the worst contract extension in Broncos history. I don't think there's anything arguable about it. It's going to go down as the worst trade and the worst contract extension in Broncos history, assuming Denver is done with Russ. And even if they're not done with Russ, if he comes back next year and the year after that and they still struggle, it will go down as that. I'm not sure how you keep him around. That's crazy. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. A big one tonight in the Mountain West Conference. Colorado State is at Boise State. This Broncos team, they do not lose at home. They are a really good Mountain West team, a lot of good Mountain West teams. This is going to be a battle. I want to get you guys the updates on how you can watch this game. It's going to be on the Mountain West Network or the Mountain West app, Mountain West, themw.com. It'll be available on most smart devices. It can be downloaded on the Apple App Store, Google Play, and more. It'll also be aired locally on KTVD, on that's Channel 20, and streamed on 9news.com. So you do have some options there to watch this game, but this is going to be a big one. I think this is going to be an Isaiah Stevens takeover night. Guard play is kind of a weakness for the Broncos. Although, wouldn't you say every night is kind of an Isaiah Stevens takeover night? He's averaging 17.6 points and 7.4 assists per game, but I could see this being like a 20-plus night for Isaiah Stevens on the road. They are favored by 2. That is a tall task for Colorado State. So we'll get into that. Mike Brohard will join us from CSURams.com in the 1 o'clock hour, so we'll look forward to that conversation as well. Also, let's take a look at the biggest needs for the Broncos. And in that top 20 list that we put together yesterday, how many of those players in the top 20 would really fit the need for the Broncos? Quarterback, edge rusher, cornerback. I think that's kind of where, I think that's the consensus right now. Those are some of the biggest needs for the Denver Broncos in the 2024 draft. 40 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling for being our sponsor. It was very cold this morning. Sounds like it's just going to keep getting colder throughout the course of the week. Get your heater up and running. Maybe talk to them about a new system. And then, you know what? Before long, we'll be in the air conditioning mode. I know. Maybe you were at that point where you ran it too much and need some work done. Free estimates are available at Lemons Heating and Cooling. LemonsHeatingandCooling.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So how many games have the Boise State Broncos won in a row at home? 21. 21 game home win streak. 12 straight home Mountain West games. CSU's overtime win back in 2022, according to Mike Brohard, who will join us in a moment, was the last win by a conference opponent in Extra Mile Arena. This is a big one tonight. They're going to have a week off after this before hosting Air Force on Tuesday. That's going to be absolutely key for Colorado State to come out and win this game against Boise State. And that's going to be no easy task. But I do think Isaiah Stevens is going to go off tonight, going to have one of those monster nights. I mean, he just continues to break all these records. Tonight, he's going to take over CSU's mark for most games played on Tuesday. Passing a friend of mine, you've had him on the show, Nico Carvacho, 132 games. I mean, it's just incredible. He's on all these watch lists. He was named the Mount West Preseason Player of the Year, Wooden Top 50 Preseason List, and one of the 20 players named to the Bob Cousy Preseason Watch List. He sits in the top 5 for active players in both scoring 3rd and assists 2nd. It's wild. 3 double-doubles on the year, and he reset his own record when he posted 14 assists against Wright State. He's averaging about 18 points per game, 7 assists per game, and about 3 boards per game. He's just steady, man. He's a steady Eddie when he's out there. He is capable of making these crazy passes, incredible plays. He had a step-back 3 jumper the other night against Utah State, and it's just wow. He got over his 2,000 points a couple of games ago. So he's a special player. So I do, 7 o'clock tonight, that'll be what I'm dialed into to see what this Rams team can do. And again, like I talked to Steve Ivey yesterday, he's one of our Hoops insiders. I wasn't that sad about the Utah State game. Again, I want this team. I think this team can achieve greatness. You're ultimately going to want to beat teams like that. But it's basketball, you know, hostile environment against Utah State. It's still a process. Entire season, it's a learning process trying to get to March Madness and hoping you're ready. But we see some of the greatest teams in the league, some of the greatest teams in college basketball, once they get to March Madness, one bad night's all it takes. So I just don't tend to worry about that stuff until you see it's a trend. Again, even a lot, I don't think they're going to lose tonight. I do think they'll win. I think they're 2-point dog, or 2-point favorites. Wouldn't be shocked if they cover that tonight. And you'll feel better. But even then, man, this is a tall task. And I suppose if you want to be kind of more on the pressure side of things for CSU and say, oh, I get it's a tall task. But if you want to be a top, 17 in the AP and 18 in the coaches poll? If you want to be this top 20, top 15 team all season long, you can't have too many of those nights where you say, yeah, but it's a tough conference. But you're the best team. You're the top team. You're in the you've been ranked almost all season. So there's a certain amount of pressure on the Rams tonight, even though Boise State's going on a 21, trying to get to 22 home wins in a row. You want to get to that stage where you're just expected to beat teams, and when you do lose, it's kind of a shock. They were dogs in the Utah State game. Texter from the 303. I think George Payton needs to stay. No doubt about the Russ trade was a debacle. No doubt the Russ trade was a debacle, but he's a proven scout and talent evaluator, and the Broncos need to stack a number of good draft classes together. Give me examples. Give me examples of the talent that he's evaluated that wasn't a sure thing. Patrick Surtain? We knew he was going to be one of the best corner when he was drafted. Like, that was his. You watched him. His description.
He was clearly the best cornerback in that draft.
Right, and he was projected
probably the most pro ready cornerback I've seen in a while.
It was like an easy pick. That was an easy pick, and I know. Well, but he picked him. Could have messed it up. Okay, give him credit for that. What else? McLaughlin. That was a free agent signing.
Guy that's more or less proven already.
Did he bring in Alex Singleton? Okay. Great. If he's a proven evaluator, then I need to see a bit more proof. Surtain, Javonte Williams, and Baron Browning. I could argue that Javonte Williams is on the downtrend.
And Javonte was 6, 7, 8 in terms of running backs in his draft class.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Michael Carter was listed ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean we've seen 3 seasons of Javonte already. McMillan certainly there for a while was looking pretty good, but he struggled late. I don't think any of those guys are proven guys that you're mentioning, except for Patrick Surtain, like proven guys. As far as really evaluating talent and churning out these super duper players for this team. There's not a lot of talent on this roster, dude. I mean, if you look at this team, it's not just the Russell Wilson thing. There's just not a lot of talent on this roster. Smitty says, Javonte is just a guy. He's less than a year out from a torn ACL, and Michael Carter got cut this year.
Hey, we're going off of when they were being evaluated.
Yeah. Okay, he's less than a year from a torn ACL. This is year 3.
It's not on George Payton to see if Javonte performs. That's on the coach and the staff. George Payton's job is to evaluate potential talent.
Right.
It's the coach's job to develop and make that talent good.
So are you giving this texter then? Are you giving him you're giving George Payton the credit for Javonte Williams? You're saying Payton and Nathaniel Hackett screwed him up?
He was outside the top 5 of running backs in his class. So, okay, maybe you found a hidden gem, but that gem hasn't been polished yet. Pat Surtain was a shiny diamond on the top of the treasure chest that you just, whoop, that's easy.
And again, I'm sorry, injuries do count. Injuries count. Javonte Williams, rookie year, 1,000 yards. What has he done since? It might sound harsh, but this is year 3 for a running back.
We know how running backs go in this league.
Right. So I'm not going to, I can't really go, oh, he evaluated Javonte Williams.
Does that mean he looked at him? Does that mean he...
The work's put in. I'm sure he evaluated the hell out of him and watched different film and all that stuff. But I'm just not going to sit here and go, That was a win. Baron Browning? Fine player. There's no stars on this team, except for Patrick Surtain. Justin Simmons was not your guy. He's probably the second best player. Cortland Sutton was not the guy you evaluated. Tim Patrick, you re-signed him, though. You re-signed Sutton and Patrick as soon as you got to town.
I don't think you've seen enough from Mims to really...
Not yet. That's probably Sean Payton's doing. Mm-hmm. You've got two classes that you can give George Payton credit for.
Well, how much did Sean Payton have an influence in the offseason last year? When he came in, this is my team.
He had very much influence, a lot of influence. 12:51 the time. Let's wrap up this hour. We got Mike Brohard coming up in the second hour. More on the poll question. Would you take Michael Penix Jr. if he fell to 12? Talk about it in the third hour of the show.
Football season is over.
It's all over.
But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears Hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
.12:56 the time. Welcome back into the show. We got about another hour left here of the program. Poll question of the day. Talking about Michael Penix Jr. You know, based on the season that was and his 5 million career in college, would you like to see Michael Penix Jr. if he fell to 12 and the Broncos are up for the pick? Would you like to see them go that route? Go with Michael Penix Jr.
6 years.
6 years in college football? Because he had a COVID year, probably?
Yep.
Wow.
He was in Indiana in 2018.
Man.
He was a sophomore in college.
I don't know why, but that... I like... In basketball, I like when you have a guy that's played for 4 years, but in football, when it's like more than four, man, you got to be really smart. He could be a doctor
and
by
he's
now.
He's only had 4,000-yard seasons the last 2 years.
Product of Washington.
Granted, injuries were.
Yeah. Boy, this draft is going to be so interesting for the Broncos. They could go quarterback. They could go edge rusher. They could go corner. There's a few guys on this list that make sense for Denver. Just who makes more sense? We'll look into it coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.